welcome once again to the weekly Mike Wilson Show, heard every Monday from 5:15 till 6 here on WWGH. And in the studio today, we have a couple of folks from the Marion Community Credit Union. We have Tanya Boffman and Daniel Bradshaw.
Hello.
Are both here. Hello. Good to see you both here. And you have some exciting community events coming up here in the future. And the first one we're going to talk about is the blood drive with the American Red Cross, I do believe.
Yeah, we've got that coming up on June 13th between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. at the Marion Community Credit Union on Barks Road, 300 Barks Road East. And we've got about 17 of the 26 people that we need to be able to donate blood. So we're still looking for 9 more blood donors.
Okay, pull the microphone a little bit closer there.
Sorry.
And so you're needing volunteers to help with what type of work? What are you needing?
We're looking for actual blood donors.
Oh, for blood donors. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's important at a blood drive.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I understand you're also needing folks to help set up and tear down as well.
Well, that's for the wall that heals.
That'll right. I'm getting my events mixed up here. Sorry.
It's okay, because trust me, it's a blur where we are too.
Yes.
We have a lot of stuff going on this summer, so it's a busy time.
So right now we're talking about the blood drive. And I guess, Daniel, you had your first experience with a blood drive recently.
I did.
Would you like to tell us about that?
Yeah, yeah. Marion Community Credit Union has had the Red Cross Blood Mobile coming in over to our Barks Road location for, we're trying to figure out how many years it's been.
I'm thinking we're somewhere between 7 and 8 years now.
7 or 8 years in a row. I've been with the credit union about 3 years now, and last year when they were scheduled to come in, and they were asking around, and they needed some more donors. And mm-hmm. I said, you know what? I've never done it before. I need to get over this fear of, yeah, I don't like needles. I don't like, you know, when I have, you know, a physical and need to get blood work done or anything like that. So I was like, I really don't like the idea of an extended,
sure,
you know,
sure,
poking and
get that needle in and out of there. Yeah,
right. Yeah, that's what I'm looking for, is something quick. So it wasn't really appealing to me, but I kind of looked at the statistics about the number of people that need blood, like, you know, every 2 seconds?
Every 2 seconds.
In the United States, there's somebody that needs blood.
Mm-hmm.
So the number of people that are going to need this that are facing a scarier situation than me having to get poked with a needle, I said, you know what? Okay, I can be a little brave compared to what other folks that need the blood have to go through. So, it was fine. Like all that worry and apprehension about it was kind of silly once it was all said and done. It was a little pinch. You just, you know, laid there and they talked to you and went mm-hmm. through all the stuff and then within a few minutes it was all done and no big deal. And I'm not one that handles the sight of blood or the thought of needles or blood very well, and so I was kind of nervous that I might get lightheaded or I might, you know, have issues with that, and I didn't have any of that.
Okay.
So if there's anyone out there that's listening, if you've thought about it, if you haven't done it before, trust me, if I can get through it and stay standing and be fine, then you can too. And that's kind of what got me to go through with it was just the idea of all the people out there that would need it and where it could benefit somebody. And, you know, whatever situation they're going through has to be much worse than my little fear and apprehension about a little needle. So
you're kind of prompting me to go to a blood drive here in the near future as well. So
we've got one coming up.
Yes.
I've heard that. what about the registration process? How's that work for the blood drive?
Well, it's real simple. You can give me a call at the credit union, 740-389-9960, or you can actually go out to the Red Cross website and register yourself, and it's redcrossblood.org, and you can select from various blood drives. I'd like for you to select the Marion Community Credit Union one, but, you know, if that's not an available date, we just want you to help out as much as you can, because we want to help the community.
Okay. And are there a lot of health questions asked before giving?
There's a handful of questions. For me, being my first time, I really didn't know what to expect. And I'm trying to recall all the different questions that they asked, but there really weren't too many, and it was easy to answer, and nothing terribly difficult to go through, and so not a whole lot of health questions to go through for it at all, I didn't think.
Okay. And here's my best part. After it's done, there are refreshments.
Yeah, they'll have different treats. They'll have juice and stuff like that, just in case because that is a big deal to be giving blood, and you just don't know how people are going to react to that, especially if it's their first time. So they do a nice job. They know what to look for, I think. Mm-hmm. When someone has given blood, they know to kind of the warning signs as they're watching you as you stand up if they think you might need a little something to eat, a little something to drink, then they've got that all there for you. And that's the nice thing about it, too, is you're surrounded by experts. You're surrounded by people that do this day in and day out.
If you're going to pass out or something, there's somebody right there that can help you. I don't say that to scare people off.
No, but that's just a
reason. It can happen.
Yeah, it can happen, and they tell you about that, and they say this is what it might feel like if that's going to happen, and so this is what you do and what we will do to help you. And it is not as scary as it might sound or seem in your head. That's what I want to get across to people from the standpoint of somebody who never did it before, did it for the first time last year.
Mm-hmm. We had two last year that were
first timers. So, we're trendsetters. So now everybody else needs to come out here and be their first time and donate. We would love to have everybody out there.
And as far as the process and the amount of time, it says here that the entire process takes about 1 hour and 15 minutes. You will donate a pint of whole blood that takes about 8 to 10 minutes, and that can vary. And that'll give you an idea about how long it'll take you to go through the process.
Yeah, yeah. And they do have a feature if you've given before. And even if not, I think they have something, and you'll have more details about this at their website for the Red Cross. But they have something called Rapid Pass, where you can do some of the answering of questions and that sort of thing ahead of time. So that could possibly help you to make that process a little bit shorter. But it's good, especially because you never know how you might react after you're done. It's good to give yourself that good hour 15 minutes. You'll block that time out of your schedule for the day if you are going to donate.
I have a lot of donors who come over their lunch hour.
Mm-hmm.
They schedule that every year.
That might be what I'll do. Maybe I should get set up here. I haven't given blood in a lot of years. I'm going to say it's been over 20 years since last time I donated. So it's about time I get back into the swing of doing that. A couple questions that I have the answers for here. One is, how often can I donate blood? You must wait at least 8 weeks or 56 days between donations of whole blood, and 16 weeks, which is 112 days, between power red donations. Platelet, okay. So anyhow, that gives you an idea how long you need to wait before you give another donation. And who can donate blood? In most states, donors must be age 17 or older. Is that true here in Ohio? 17. Mm-hmm. Some states allow donation by 16-year-olds and assign parental consent form. Donors must weigh at least 110 pounds. Well, I've got that. And be in good health. Additional eligibility criteria apply. So you can stop by. What's those dates again?
It is June 13th between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. Okay. And you can schedule your time ahead of time so that you're guaranteed that time frame for yourself.
Okay, so you can stop by the credit union, make a deposit inside, and then come out to the bloodmobile and make another deposit. They really want your blood to help out other folks. So stop by the Marion Community Credit Union and help out. There's a great need, from what I understand right now, of blood.
There really is. And when you think about the fact that every 2 seconds someone in America needs blood, but also that each blood donation can save up to 3 lives.
Oh, wow.
And that's when, and that's what put it into perspective for me, when I started to say, you know what, there's no reason I can't. I meet the criteria to give it. It's going to take an hour of my time. You know, okay, yeah, it's going to hurt a little bit. It's going to pinch. You know what? I've got a little dog at home that tends to bite every now and then. Like, if I can deal with that, I can deal with a little needle pinch to potentially save three lives out there. But there really is a shortage. They're looking constantly. There are certain types that they're looking for specifically. I know that type O negative is the universal blood type. So that's absolutely the mm-hmm. best thing. If you're O negative, if you know that out there about yourself, then please, definitely a type that they could use for you know, pretty much anybody. And then you know, they're looking at type O positive is the most transfused blood type, and can be transfused to patients of about any blood type. And then you have A negative and B negative that can be transferred to specific patients. But really, there's just a shortage, and I don't know if that's a matter of fewer donors out there, or if it's just an increase in the need. So maybe the supply has stayed steady, but the need has increased. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure what's causing that, but I do know that consistently they are looking and they are asking and trying to do everything they can by holding events like this one and several others all around the country, in order to get as much supply as they possibly can have, because it's, like you said, you know, one donation saving three lives potentially, that's huge. Mm-hmm. And so when you're running out of that supply, it's not like something they can just make.
Did you know during the summer months of June, July, and August, on average, about two fewer donors give blood at each American Red Cross drive than hospital patients need? This could add up to more than 100,000 few donations this summer.
Yeah, so that's what we're looking to counteract, the summertime not having enough donors. So, you know, we really would encourage folks to come out there, you know, kick off the summer, do that, you know, as something to really help out some other people in the beginning of June by coming out to 300 Barks Road East and giving. We've still got a lot of spots open. So if you want to give us a call, call Tanya, 740-389-9960. And find out what appointment times are available. Get it scheduled in advance so that way you know what your schedule is going to look like that day. And you can set that up and come in and donate and then get on with the rest of your day and feel good knowing that you potentially saved three lives just by giving up an hour of your time and a little bit of blood that afternoon.
And yeah. Even if you haven't had a chance to schedule in advance, but you're driving by and you see the Red Cross bus, please mm-hmm. stop by if you're willing to donate. Stop by because sometimes we do have people who have scheduled and they weren't able to give. Maybe their ARN level was low or they were recently out of state or something has caused them to not be able to give and they didn't realize. Mm-hmm. So that might put us down on one of the donations. So just by somebody stopping in, we've been able to meet our quota.
That's awesome. And it might be a little, very small inconvenience for the person that's doing it, but I'll tell you what, like you said, one donation might save three lives. Some examples are kids battling cancer, accident victims, new moms with complications during childbirth. All these are folks that are in need. You never know when we might have some kind of a natural disaster where they're needing. Or you never know when you're going to need blood yourself.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You could be helping yourself out down the road.
Right.
Well, we've seen all over the news all the tornadoes and the severe weather that's hit mm-hmm. across the country just over the weekend. And the number of people that the Red Cross is helping on a daily basis is just unreal. Trying to wrap your head around all of those people, over 15,000 people every day are receiving some kind of health and safety training from the Red Cross. 1,000 times a day, they're providing service to military members or their families and veterans. And 190 times a day, Red Cross workers are helping families that are affected by home fires or disasters like the ones we were just talking about. So you think about all the people affected and all the the strain that is put on the supply of blood out there. Like I said, they can't just make it. If it's not right. like something that's, you know, they need to ramp up production. Really, the only way that they can keep up with that demand is people like you to come out and to give whenever they have the opportunity.
And if you happen to be a selfish person, doesn't want to help anybody else, think of yourself.
That's right.
There might be a time when you need that, like we said just a moment ago. Okay, well, let's move on to the wall that heals.
Yes, yes.
That's coming up in July. Yes. And first of all, tell us what the wall that heals is.
Yep, the wall that heals is a 3/4 size replica of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial that's in Washington, D.C. And it's a traveling replica, goes all around the country. And this year, I believe it's making about 39 or 40 stops in different cities around the U.S. And last year, our CEO, Vidya, she had said to me that for years she wanted to bring it to Marion. And so she said to me last year, you know what? Let's see what we can do to make that happen this year. She saw it when she was visiting a family out in California a few years ago. And she said it was just such a powerful experience, and she really wanted to bring that to the people in Marion in Central Ohio. And so I found the website and filled out the application and was really excited at the end of last year when I got the announcement from them that said, yes, we're going to come to Marion. And in fact, when it comes to Marion, Ohio, this July 18th through the 21st, that's the only stop in the entire state of Ohio. So that's the only chance for people in the state of Ohio to come
wow,
and see.
That's quite a privilege for Marion.
It really is. And it's going to be out at River Valley High School and Middle School. It will set up, like we said, it opens up on the 18th and will be open 24 hours a day. So day or night, if someone wants to come and visit the wall and look and take it in, they can do that. And then it's there until early afternoon on that Sunday, the 21st. And it's really a powerful thing to see and experience, and we're looking for a lot of people because, of course, as you can imagine, something that size, it travels around, so it's going to take a lot of volunteers to assemble it when it arrives, and then a lot of volunteers to take it down at the end. And we also need folks for when it is set up that can greet guests as they're coming in. And maybe answer any basic questions about it or kind of help them to find a certain name if they're wanting help with that. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for a lot of people to help in a variety of different ways. But we're also just wanting to get the message out there that it's going to be available. It is free to the public. Nothing is going to be sold. Nothing's allowed to be sold in or around the area where the wall is going to be. That's part of the stipulations. This is not a commercial venture. This is not a money-making venture for anybody. This is strictly something to educate the public, and especially young people that are from a generation that is far removed from everything that happened during the Vietnam War and don't have really a true understanding of the sacrifice of the 15,000-plus names that are etched into the wall memorial.
That's a lot of names.
Mm-hmm. It is. It really is. And I believe there are, 29 that are from Marion County that are on the wall as well. Mm-hmm. We're really excited to be bringing it to Marion. Really excited to be bringing it to the state of Ohio, being the only one in the state of Ohio this year out of 40 different stops that they're making. But especially proud to be bringing it to Marion, Ohio, so that our residents and the surrounding communities can come and experience it, and especially those veterans who didn't receive the kind of welcome back home after the Vietnam War ended that they probably should have. So to give them that honor and that respect and the thanks that is deserved for those that gave their lives and all those that served and are still here with us, which that's a dwindling number as the years go by as well.
Yes, it is.
So we are honored and humbled and also excited to be able to bring something so powerful here to Marion and for all ages to experience it.
Well, let's start out with the volunteers that are needed. You can start volunteering as early as July 17th, from what I'm seeing here.
Mm-hmm.
to build the site. So what kind of folks are you looking for to help with that?
Well, I'd like to talk about the build and the tear down. I've gotten a lot of questions about what is needed. And one of the things that people don't realize is there is some heavy lifting. So you have to be able to tandem lift up to 80 pounds.
Wow.
And I've gotten questions of how long, what time does it start? How long does it last? So we'll start building about 8:30 in the morning. And of course, the answer is until it's built. Average, it's about 5.5 to 6 hours is what we'd be looking at for a build. And then once it's built, then it is kind of open to the public as a soft opening. So at that point, we kind of move in and we need our volunteers. And we need volunteers who can work 4-hour shifts. Overnights, we are asking for a little bit longer shift just because it's hard to get people to come in the middle of the night where they're already there. So those people, they're like, well, will I get education? Yes, there's an education center. You will be trained on how to assist people when you're at the wall. You're going to want to make sure that you are wearing comfortable shoes because it is 4 hours that you would be standing. I want to make sure you're wearing some enclosed shoes and not sandals and things because you're going to be dealing with some uneven ground. We'll make sure that there's water and refreshments and things for our volunteers because we realize it is during the summer months, so make sure that you're dressing appropriately for that, and we're going to take those precautions for the heat.
Okay.
Anything else to add?
Well, I think you covered pretty well what you need in the way of volunteers. I see that there's going to be a motorcycle escort the day before that from Upper Sandusky.
Yeah, we've got, based on past experience and other escorts, we're probably going to have a couple hundred motorcycles.
Oh, wow.
That we'll meet in Upper Sandusky, and we'll have more details on that once all the specifics of the route have been approved. It takes a lot when it's going through a few different counties to get all the coordination and approvals and everything else that are needed from law enforcement and all the other moving parts and pieces of that. But yeah, we're looking at, it's probably going to be a couple hundred motorcycles that will be escorting the 53-foot trailer as it comes into town. And it's, we try to emphasize it's not a parade, but we are wanting to have people lining the streets. So once we do have everything approved, we'll definitely be getting the word out there to let people know where it's going to be and when. Mm-hmm. So they can still be lining the streets and, you know, have their American flags and just, again, give it the welcome and the respect that it's due when it's coming into town. So we're looking forward to that and having the. It's one of those things also for the neighboring communities. Once those couple hundred motorcycles come through town with that trailer, there's going to be no question that, hey, something is happening in the next couple of days. And hopefully if anyone hasn't heard about the Wall that Heals coming into town yet, then they'll at least know about it after that has happened. So they'll come in on that Monday, on that Tuesday, rather. And then that Wednesday is when the volunteers will come out to the site and put everything together and get the replica built. And then Thursday is when we'll have an opening ceremony that morning. And there it is and available to people to come out and to visit and to learn. And it's really neat because that 53-foot trailer it comes in on, once it gets parked and emptied out, then it has exhibits that are built into both sides of it. So that becomes their education center and helps to tell the story about what happened with the Vietnam War and talks about the wall and that part of our history. And it includes displays, like digital photo displays of our hometown heroes. So those 29 names that are on the wall that are from Marion County, those are going to be highlighted when the wall is here in Marion. And they have a map of Vietnam. They have a digital kiosk that lets visitors go and search for names on the wall. So that way they get an idea, because the way it is laid out and the way it goes, it's not alphabetically, it's not by region. It has to do with, I believe it has to do with the date of when they passed.
So
it's not laid out in a way that's easy to locate necessarily just walking up on your own. You know, it's not alphabetical or anything like mm-hmm. that. So they have a kiosk that's available for that, but then there will also be the volunteers that are all around when people come to visit the site that can help them to find the name that they're looking for. Something that's really neat about the wall itself is the fact that people can actually get etchings done. Some other replicas, they might just be kind of printed onto the plates or something like that. This actually is a material where the names are all engraved, just like they are on the actual memorial in D.C. So folks will be able to go on and do the etchings just like they would at the actual site to kind of have a remembrance of the person that that they're wanting to kind of memorialize that's there on the wall.
Okay, you were talking about the order that the names are listed. The names are listed in order of date of casualty and alphabetically on each day, beginning at the center apex. The names start on the east wall, the right-hand side, working their way out to the end of that wing, picking up again at the far end of the west wall, the left-hand side, and working their way back into the center apex. The first and last casualties are side by side at the apex of the memorial.
Right, right. So that it's if you don't know exactly what you're looking for, then that can be a little bit tricky to navigate. And that's what the kiosk is there for, as well as the volunteers to sort of point people in the right direction for, you know, whoever it is that they might be looking for. Because if you just try to wrap your head around that, like we said, over 15,000 names that are on this wall. If you just go and think you're going to find it by just glancing through, unless you have some of that detailed information, then it's going to be a real struggle for you to find that on your own. But that's why we have the Education Center there.
So it sounds like you can go to the Education Center and find out approximately where the name is on the wall, so you don't have to be hunting for a long period of time. Is that correct?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And that's what we're... I've been giving the wrong number this entire time. I'm ashamed of myself. 58,000 names that are on the wall. Here I have been saying 15,000. I don't know where that number came from. Over 58,000 names on the wall.
That's a lot of people. 15,000
is the service members unaccounted for.
Or 1,500 members.
I'm sorry, yeah. 1,500 service members unaccounted for the Vietnam War. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's where you were getting the 15,000.
I don't know. I don't know where the 15,000 came from, and now I'm ashamed of myself. Feel like
that's
I haven't been.
That's all right.
But yeah, that's
a lot of people.
But you think about that. I mean, the entire population of you know, the city of Marion, plus more.
Right.
You know, just imagine that number of people. And that's not the only people that were affected. That's just, you know, those that passed. Think of, for each of those individuals, family members, friends,
right,
neighbors, the community. So you know, that to look at that and to take it all in, and then try to connect all of the people that were were touched by that individual, and their passing and affected by that. Back then, it's overwhelming for a lot of people, and part of the reason that we have that available 24 hours is so that people could do that. They can come, whether it's during the day or if they want to come in the middle of the night when they know it's not going to have, there aren't going to be as many people around,
mm-hmm.
because we do want this to be a solemn and respectful and kind of a reflective time for people. You know, this is not a celebratory type of thing at all, of
right.
course. This is a memorial. Mm-hmm. So we are looking for it to be a quiet and peaceful time of reflection for people as they come in and look, whether they know a name on the wall or whether they, you know, were born well after anything related to Vietnam was even being talked about on a regular basis anymore. And that's what we're looking for, is to continue that conversation and make sure that story carries on to the next generation.
Well, a little bit about the memorial itself. The replica is constructed of avonite, which is a synthetic granite, and it's 144 individual panels are supported by an aluminum frame. Modern LED lighting from the top of the wall provides readability of the wall at night, as you've been talking about. The Wall That Heals is transported from community to community in a 53-foot trailer, as you said. When parked, the trailer opens with exhibits built into its sides, allowing it to serve as a mobile education center telling the story of the Vietnam War. The wall and the divisive era in American history.
Yeah, and that's what we're looking for, is to, like we said, to educate people about not just the names that are on there, but that time in American history and what it was like, because what things are like today for our veterans is definitely not akin to what it was like back then. So, you know, we want to make sure that people understand and recognize what the soldiers went through that did make it back. There are going to be a couple of different ceremonies that we will have. The best place for people to get information would actually be if they would go onto Facebook and find the Marion Community Credit Union page. There's an event listed there specifically for the Wall That Heals. And they could get the details about all these different things as we do post those things out there. But there's going to be pinning ceremonies for our Vietnam veterans that are out there that have not received their pin for their time in Vietnam. That'll be Saturday at 4:30. We're going to have a small opening ceremony on that Thursday. There's going to be a larger ceremony happening on that Saturday, and we'll have some special guests that will be there for that, and that's going to be a really nice ceremony there. There will be a small worship service, a non-denominational worship, happening on that Sunday morning there at the wall. And we're even going to have guided tours for youth groups offered on the 19th, on that Friday. For, you know, grade school in the 9 a.m. hour, middle school in the 10 a.m. hour, high school in 11 a.m., and it's limited to 100 students per hour. So those that are interested in having their group, whether it's a church youth group or, you know, Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts or other youth organizations that want to bring some students out there, we definitely would encourage them. Again, give us a call at 740-389-9960. You can talk to Tanya. You could give her a call. There's a cell phone number that's available, not at the credit union. That's 740-262-4933. And we also have the opportunity for families with youth on Saturday, and that'll be from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. And they'll be able to come and kind of get a little more in depth than what you might get at some of the other times, to get those guided tours and we're really hoping that people take advantage of that, especially because we're excited to have it here, but we're really hoping that the youth that are involved in different groups and organizations will take the time to come out there, since it is in the summer. We're almost a little concerned that there won't be as many youth coming out there as might normally be. You know, if it was during the school year, then we might have some field trips coming out there. But with it being in the middle of summer the way that it is in the month of July, that's why we're trying to push for the youth to come out there in those groups, so that the kids are out there. Those are the ones that I think need to see it probably the most out of anybody.
Youth groups, Girl Scout groups, Boy Scout groups, so on.
Mm-hmm.
Camp groups.
Campers, most certainly.
Yep.
Not too far from River Bend out there, so maybe some advertising out there would be good.
Yeah. We've been spreading the word all over the place. I was actually in Upper Sandusky just this past week, and I made a stop into another credit union that's located there with a branch, and I walked in and briefly introduced myself and said I have information for, and I didn't even get it out, and they said, oh, the Wall That Heals. Like they already knew. So yeah. Tanny's been doing a great job of helping to spread the word to other credit unions and to just other surrounding communities and organizations. She's gone along with some other people from our volunteer committee and talk to some different groups about it. And we will actually be doing more of that over the coming weeks as well. So really, if people want more information, the best thing they could do would be to go to Facebook, look for Marion Community Credit Union, and then once you find that page, you'll find the event page for The Wall That Heals. And that's where we're going to have all the specific information about things that are coming up.
And if groups want to attend, and I think we've given this number a couple times at least, but you can call Tanya at 740. You got that pencil or pen ready? 740-262-4933. Something else that caught my attention here was this honor craft will be available on the Youth Saturday. What can you tell us about that?
That is, what is this called? It's a tile.
Okay.
And we're going to have some of our craftier girls. They are going to have each one of the 29, their names will be on a tile. There will be numbers that will have a significance, and the kids can craft those. There might be one that might says 31 sets of brothers on the wall, or 3 sets of fathers and sons was on the wall.
Okay.
And it's just things that the kids can paint, and then we will seal coat. Those will be set at the wall, and it'll be determined later where those will be displayed. I believe we have the Historical Society who is interested in displaying those after the event. But there will be just different things that will have different meanings, either to one of our hometown heroes or things that relate back to the wall, mm-hmm. that the kids can come out and paint and have a personal touch that they were a part of.
That's awesome. Another thing I saw here was the Gold Star bike. What can you tell us about the Gold Star bike?
Yeah, that was donated to the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund. That's the nonprofit that built the original memorial in Washington in 1982. It was donated to them by the American Gold Star Mothers in 2012. It's a soft-tail custom Harley, and it pays tribute to the mothers who lost their sons in the Vietnam War. So just like we were talking about a few moments ago, it's not just the names of those, 58,000 plus on the wall, but it's all those that are affected by that. So that's something that is there where people are able to see that as part of the education center. Mm-hmm. Just another way of remembering, connecting back to the Gold Star families for those that lost a loved one during their service at Vietnam.
We actually have some families who have signed up with 3 to 5 individuals, and they've talked about creating a t-shirt that honors their loved one and have their name on the back of it because they want to honor them.
Yeah, there's something really interesting that's been going on for quite a while now as kind of a connecting project with The Wall That Heals, where they've been looking to have a photograph for every single name that is on the wall.
Oh, that would be awesome.
And as you can imagine, that's quite a task to take on. And we were really excited just a few weeks ago. We got word that they finally got the final picture for the state of Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
So for every name that is on the wall from the state of Ohio, not just Marion County, but from the entire state of Ohio, there is a picture to accompany that. So when you are at the Education Center, you'll be able to see a picture for every single name from the state of Ohio. So they've kind of been working their way through and gathering pictures for individuals. And just a month or two ago, mm-hmm. I think it was, that they finally verified that they had a picture for every single person in the state of Ohio who is named on the wall. So again, that just that gives it another a bit more weight to it, I think. Mm-hmm. Than seeing a name on the wall, but you can put the face with it, and you can mm-hmm. you can kind of see that individual. So we're really honored to be the only stop in Ohio for this year. It's the first time that people will be able to see a picture that goes with every single one of those names.
Okay, and I thought it was kind of interesting. There are only 8 women on the wall.
Yeah, that was around an earlier time with women being part of the armed services and some of the work that would kind of put them in danger's way. So it's, mostly men on there, but there are women that are represented on that wall for sure.
A few facts here. 400,000 items have been left at the wall. There are 31 sets of brothers on the wall, which I think you mentioned earlier. 3 sets of fathers and sons on the wall as well. 246 was the most casualty deaths for one day. That was January 31st, 1968. So there are a few facts concerning that. And I don't feel that the folks that served in Vietnam got their proper recognition when they came back.
Right.
I think it's about time that we start honoring them, even though they're getting up there in age now, and hopefully their families as well.
Yeah, and the what's really neat is there are more than 5.3 million visitors to the original Vietnam Veterans Memorial in D.C. But this is a way that people who maybe aren't able to go and see that and experience that, especially those veterans who did serve, this is a way, hopefully, for them to be able to make the trip to at least see a replica of that and experience it when that might not have been an option for them. So we're really hoping that the word will spread to all of those who did serve in Vietnam, that they could have this moment and be recognized and be honored and thanked in the way that they definitely deserve.
Okay, so if somebody is wanting to volunteer, and I think we've covered this earlier, but we're going to cover it again, we need to call Tanya?
Call Tanya.
Okay.
740-262-4933. That's my cell phone. If I don't answer, leave me a message. I promise I will call you back.
Okay. And as far as folks that want to ride with the motorcycles that escorted in, can anybody just join in that day, or has that already been set up? How's that working?
No, we would ask them to at least reach out ahead of time. I know there are already some large groups that are taking part in that, but we're not going to be turning people away for it. We if someone wants to get on their bike and ride as part of the escort, then we would definitely encourage that. And they can go ahead and give Tanya a call, and she can direct them to the proper people. That's been the awesome part about this as well, is the number of people it takes to put on something like this.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a great group of volunteers that are handling their individual areas, such as that motorcycle escort, to make it all happen.
Okay, well, Tanya and Daniel, it's been a privilege to have you here talking about this today. Like we've said several times, it's a great honor that Marion has been chosen to, well, I guess you reached out to them, but I'm glad that you did. So make sure that you don't miss out on the opportunity of The Wall That Heals, Thursday, July 18th through Sunday, July 21st. Check it out on Facebook. And thank you both for being here today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place. For people like legendary comedian Shecky Green telling the funniest talk show story of all time about guest starring on Fantasy Island.
When all started, I was late.